they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
Okay, well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is our low-effort, low-quality podcast. I'm Liz Brunig. This is my husband, Matt.
Hello, everyone.
As you can see, Matt has attained another victory.
Another victory.
Law practice.
Undefeated. As far as the podcast knows.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's so hard to suss out what's victory and defeat in these situations.
We talked about it. Mm-hmm. I did the election objections thing, mm-hmm. you know, the union won 37-0. The employer says, oh, five of those people, not of the 37, but other five, they were actually supervisors and they supported the union and that created supervisory taint. And so the election has to be thrown out. All bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I won.
You won.
Victory.
All right.
Recommendation.
How was it to be practicing before the board again?
Was solid.
It was solid. You know? You obviously did well.
Yeah, you know, the facts were on our side. And also my excellent lawyering, of course.
Yeah.
Mostly that, obviously. After conducting the hearing and carefully reviewing the evidence, as well as arguments made by the parties, I conclude that the employer has not met its burden of establishing that the five individuals named in the objections were supervisors within the meaning of Section 211 of the Act at the time of the election or in the time period preceding the election. Further, even if the employer had established that these individuals were statutory supervisors, I would find there was insufficient evidence presented that their pro-union conduct reasonably tended to coerce or interfere with employees' free choice under the first Harborside prong and or materially affected the outcome of the election under the second prong.
All right.
Victory.
Look at that.
The hearing examiner recommends overruling the objections and issuing a certification of representative. So from here, what happens is the employer has 2 weeks to file file exceptions, mm-hmm. which are like little objections to the decision of the hearing officer. Then that will go up to the regional director, and the regional director will look at those and 99 times out of 100 disregard them and say that the hearing officer got it correct.
Yeah.
From there, I guess they're probably going to file a request for review to the board. At the moment, requests for review just don't get answered, and they just certify the union. So
yeah,
that's where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
In the decision, there was a mistake that the employer that the hearing officer kind of pointed out that the employer made. As you know, they issued a subpoena trying to get all the communications between those five individuals that they claim were supervisors and the union. And I filed a petition to revoke the subpoena,
mm-hmm.
and that was granted.
Mm-hmm.
A subpoena revoked, did not have to turn over those communications. The employer did not like that. Boo, wah, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, objected to the fact that, you know, my petition to revoke the subpoena was granted.
Mm-hmm.
In the decision, on footnote 5, the hearing officer says, despite the objection, the employer did not request permission to file a special appeal of this ruling to the regional director of the board. It's a little procedural.
Mm-hmm.
A little procedural. They didn't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize you're supposed to do that.
Okay.
Lawyering error right there. Not all the way there on the other side.
Thing, skill issue to them.
That is a skill issue, not all the way up on the ALJ bench book or the Code of Federal Regulations, it appears.
All right, so.
Yet still probably made about 4 or 5 times what I made in the case. That's
there's
the
no
great
justice.
Tragedy of it all. The employer side, not the sharpest knives, but
yeah.
Get paid a lot more.
Yeah. To do evil shit.
To some degree, you got to give credit to the union side people because it would be so easy.
it would be so easy.
There's so many people holding back their skills.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that'll be funny. I wonder if they'll try to fashion that as an exception, even though they didn't file the special appeal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that won't work because that's not procedural. Way you're supposed to do it, but mm-hmm. you'd be surprised how much procedural bullshit the employers mess up on.
Yeah.
During the Starbucks things, I was always interested to see, because there were so many of the cases, and I would read them, and there would always be like, they had Morgan Lewis. No, it was Littler. Littler was representing Starbucks. They got the Starbucks contract. And like, you know, I don't know, there must have been 10 or 15 cases where it'd be like, they filed their appeal to the ALJ when it should have been to the board, or they filed their whatever they were filing like too late past the deadline.
Yeah.
Like, shit like that. Just, you know, I've not, thankfully, have not made like a procedural error like that before. But, you know, you don't want to get too, because who knows? Maybe one day I will.
Yeah. Yeah, it could happen.
I like little rules, though. I like little processes, you know? So I might maybe have a little bit more insulation against that kind of mistake.
Yeah.
Should we move to the news of the day?
Sure. I put some stuff in the doc.
Oh, let's see. Pod idea scribbles. Oh, okay. Yes. That is true as well. That was what I was going. Okay, so we'll just start with this, I guess.
I'm here to tell you to buy American Eagle chains. I'm not here to tell you to buy American Eagle jeans. And I definitely won't say that they're the most comfortable jeans I've ever worn. Or that they make your butt look amazing. Why would I need to do that? But if you said that you want to buy the jeans, I'm not going to stop you. But just so we're clear, this is not me telling you to buy American Eagle jeans.
Sydney Sweeney has very keen.
You see what I did there, right?
I mean, I guess. Audibly dumb. You feel me, though? You feel me. You feel me.
I think you're just judging her dead eyes.
There's the dead eyes. There's the eyes of grazing cattle. But then also just, yeah, maybe I'm extrapolating from the expression. But
if she were more pointy and skeletal, you wouldn't think she was so dumb.
It's not the big tits that make me think she's stupid, all right? Just to be clear, I've got nothing against great tits. I think that has been established on this podcast.
Rectifying.
But, you know, and this is not even the ad people are mad about. So,
oh, shit, I don't know why
you queued that one up. But
I don't. What's the one they're mad about?
It's the other one.
Cool. Why don't you put that one in the...
It's the one other than that one.
Okay, I'm going to go to their YouTube. Okay.
I'm not here to...
No.
This is how it goes.
Okay. It's the only one on their YouTube.
It's like...
This is the American Eagle YouTube. At American Eagle. Latest videos. This is the 12 days ago one.
Okay.
And on the Brunigs.
Okay, babe. And then this to you. Here you go. Do a little click-a-rooney on that.
All right.
Scroll down past the header image.
It's like, what I'll do to prep the podcast is I'll put a whole screeny of a tweet.
Look, but fam.
Maybe not the audio.
This is more than I usually fucking do.
No, that's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. So they only put that one on X. That seems like a weird decision.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My jeans are blue.
Sydney Sweeney has very canes.
Okay. All right.
Offspring. Pronounced with no F.
Oh, that's interesting.
Offspring.
That's meant to catch your ear.
You think so?
Yeah, they do that in music.
Genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color.
Personality.
My genes are blue.
Sydney Sweeney has very canes.
There's nothing wrong with this ad. Like, it's perfectly fine. People freaked out over it.
It's a pun.
Yeah, I get it. They're like, hey, jeans. They sound the same, but are spelled different. You feel me? And I'm like, I guess. I mean.
It's a little confusing, the second one. The first one I thought was more straightforward.
Yeah, the first one was very straightforward. I don't know why you played that one, but.
That's the one that's on their YouTube channel.
Okay. I can't believe you had not actually watched this ad. You've watched the discourse happen, but you've had no curiosity about
it. I mean, I watched an ad.
It must have been very puzzling for you to be like, I don't see what the problem is with this. She's just saying, I'm not telling you to buy jeans.
Well, I still understood the little, you know,
the little tagline.
Little tagline, sure.
Sydney Sweeney has great genes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By that, they're referring to the fact that she's stacked. But
that's what I assumed it was about. But yeah. In this one, they're talking about other traits as well.
Yeah, eye color seems to be the one they're focused on. But of course, the camera pans up from her zipping her jeans to her open shirt,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, maybe is more suggestive of what they're getting at than just that she has blue eyes. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, it's a little bit, yeah. Because everything's indirect, right? So
right, they're not just going to come out and be like, buy the jeans from the big tits girl.
Yeah, no, I got it. No, that makes sense. Okay.
So people freaked out about this. And honestly, people, I don't know what got into them, acting like it's 2020 and anyone gives a fuck about this anymore.
Well, so I want to start with the first objection there. And do we need to have a discourse here about the just futility of it all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because how would we know if people are freaking out?
I mean, people are online freaking out.
There are 300 million people online.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean to say, okay, there are 300 million people in the country.
Well, there's billions online, but
it's definitely not like the majority of people online were pissed off, but there were little media articles that were generated.
Those are more interesting. But are the media articles collecting a few TikTokers? I think the thing that is that's very tiresome and just starting as I get old man-ish to bore me. This is not boring, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's just... Okay, because everyone's a content creator, anytime you do anything that's provocative,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's, you're going to get at least 50 to 100 responses that like take the bait or go some way with it. And that's enough to, if you bring them all together and put them on a feed or a story, to be like, oh my God, look at the reaction. And... do we have any way as a society to suss out whether something is widely felt or not widely felt anymore? Polling doesn't work for sure.
We just have to put shit to national referenda and see what happens.
And if not, it just is like, oh my God, were we stuck with this forever?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, like everyone can go do something provocative, you know, even mildly provocative. And then go nutpick a few TikTokers who themselves are trying to like maybe curate some kind of audience, who even knows exactly what they even think. And then we just have to do this thing. And no one ever gets to be like, this is not really an issue.
Yeah.
Because they could go, oh, look at that. And they'll show some video. And it's like, I guess the point here is that all the content that was shown as proof of backlash, I've never seen any of those creators ever in my life.
Oh yeah, no, same.
And that, you know, could be because of my own thing, but like, are any of them big? Are there any big creators in whatever this space is who reacted? Do you know what I mean? Like, in my world, I have the ability to do this a little bit because I know who the econ people who are notable are. And so it's always easy enough to be like, okay, that's some random dumbass and whatever. And I just try not to engage. I try to be like, all right, I'm going to wait till Ezra Klein says the dumb thing.
Yeah.
Or Iglesias or Chris Hayes or whatever, right? Like this is, I don't know, 40 or 50 sort of prominent people in this sort of universe.
Yeah.
And if it makes it through one of their mouths, then that's kind of interesting. I don't want to diminish the shit level accounts, as you call them.
I don't call them that.
You're always like the shit tier accounts.
I think they're all shit.
I don't diminish them, but I never would be like, oh, people this, people that. I would be like, oh, that's an interesting point or not an interesting point. It just kind of stands on its own, you mm-hmm. know? But if it's, you know, and so I just, that's my first reaction. I could be off. Maybe there are, it is indicative of a broader trend, but my first reaction is like, okay, so you put out a slightly trolly ad, you go nutpick random people I've never seen in my life, just go on their TikToks. It's like, this person has 400 followers. And then you're like, big controversy. And then you're able to parlay that. It's just, why are we all taking the bait, you know, on some level now?
Well, like, what level is, you know, how many people have to feel a certain way before it's worthy of discourse?
I don't know. It's the collapse. The collapse of the hierarchy has made it to where I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to, you know, you just, there's takes out there for every view, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I could find way more, I bet I could find way more videos talking about the importance of doing, you know, ethnic cleansing of America, you know, like, yeah, that's an important, I could find way more than those.
Yeah, there's like whole websites and shit devoted to that.
Like, yeah, is that like a trend? I don't know. There's still fairly marginal.
Always been skinheads.
In the society, but, you know. Anyways, continue. I don't mean to bog down, but I just thought I would put that out there as a kind of preliminary,
what's going on
with the way discourse works kind of thing, and then we'll get into specifics.
No, you're right. I frequently have this thought that as a contributor to the discourse for a living, none of this shit matters. Nobody cares. It doesn't change anything. You know, I'm being paid to scream into the void.
Well, at least you have a lot of people consume your content. The yeah. real void screamers are the like 8 follower accounts, and you're like, wow, they have 10,000 tweets.
Yeah, but compared to the masses of people who aren't reading at all.
Well, yeah, no one's going to reach more than maybe, you know, and if you're really lucky, 1% of the population or something, but, you know, still.
So it's like what, you know, I'm randomly distributing my ideas in extremely small numbers throughout the country where they're totally unhelpful. And there's no real way of knowing or communicating anything, which is troubling and, you know, is nihilism and it's attractive.
I guess I have the advantage of there's some level of measurable success when you get like a candidate who supports it, you know, and then you're like, okay, cool, I got that on there because I did all this work and now, you know, baby boxes and whatever, you know, like stuff's going on. The politicians are rolling it about and some bills are being introduced. That's just kind of intriguing. But
yeah,
in your case, well, I guess you have awards, right? And you're very motivated by that, it seems.
I you know, but that speaks to the depth of futility, I think. It's not like I hold out any hope that anything I do is going to affect the death penalty at all. There's basically no chance of that.
Is that an effect in Alabama for a while?
There was a brief moratorium.
It's more than most.
It didn't last. And I, you know, there's not a lot of hope in it. But you can be like, you know what I'm doing doesn't matter, but do I do it well?
Yeah,
you can really hang a lot on that, which is what I do.
Be internally motivated. I like my, you know, I was talking to, I had this argument and someone's like, I don't think that's going to be very persuasive.
Yeah.
I was talking to and I was like, I don't give a fuck. It's a good argument. This is a winning argument. And they're like, what do you mean? But if people aren't persuaded by it, I'm like, no. You look at it objectively, you know, like a piece of art.
Yeah.
And it's good or it's bad.
Yeah.
And that's not related to how it's received for me.
No, that's true. You're truly free in that way.
And so you could be like, oh, that art, it was, I was like, look, the best argument for free college, one you haven't heard of.
Okay.
It's that, or you may have heard it briefly, but like it's not big in the free college discourse. It's that free college makes it so that college student children are not dependent on their parents.
Yeah.
And so you're able to cut that coercive tie and allow them to be free in how they want to study and what they want to study, which is very important for the development of their life. And so the pro-independence rationale and the pro or anti-financial coercion rationale, that underlies a lot of welfare state thinking is actually present in the free college scenario.
Yeah.
The same reason why we want to make sure, you know, if someone divorces, that they're, it's not like going to be financial devastation, right? The welfare state will be there. Or if someone loses their job, that's not going to be financial devastation because the unemployment benefits are there. And even someone who's disabled, maybe they have a very affluent spouse, but we still want to make sure that they have disability benefits, because who knows, that spouse might, you know, take advantage of their economic resources. They might feel like they can't leave them, et cetera, et cetera. That same rationale is present for the college student as well.
Mm-hmm.
And many stories of people, you know, essentially what college they go to being dictated by their parents, what they study being dictated by their parents. And that does not seem just.
Yeah.
Or fair.
Yeah.
And insofar as remembering, as with all things, it's not really that free college costs money exactly. Like, it's not like it's expensive. It's just that, you know, it's just how you're collecting the money. Are you collecting it as fees, or are you collecting it as tax? It all's money at the end of the day. That, in that sense, it works. And they were like, well, but I just, you know, you go to the, that's just, people don't see that as a big problem. And, but, you know, whereas like maybe like the financial hardship of like student debt, people see it. I'm like, that you don't understand. I don't care.
Not in the customer service business.
I don't care. My ARC is clean. What can you say against it? Are you for parents using the financing model of college to coerce adults into where they study and what they study?
You're like,
do you want your parents to tell you? How? Why don't we let them pick your spouse while we're at it?
Okay.
Tell you where to work. I mean, they effectively are if they're telling you what you have to study. No. You don't have an ARG on that side. There's no ARG on the other side.
You're like, you know, critics of welfare often say that it severs the bonds of dependency between people. And you're like, yes. Mm-hmm.
Of course it does.
This is one of the great, strong, powerful, longstanding critiques of welfare.
It's a shit critique.
And you're just like, it's good, actually.
Of course it's good. One day I'll find this thing. The Nordics, they've got a whole discourse on this.
Yeah.
It's not as if this is what they'll say. This is a speech I'm recreating that I've heard from one of their prime ministers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we don't support the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we don't want people to get married, to have kids, to love one another, to come together on holidays, to create friendships of mutual support. It's not, we love those things. We support those things. But we do not want people to be forced into those things because of financial desperation. In fact, that is a terrible way to build a healthy family, a healthy marriage, healthy relationships with your adult children. A terrible way to do that, to use the financial coercion and dependence in order to force together that kind of thing. It allows people to take advantage of the fact that they have more power and more money over other individuals within the family unit. When instead, if things are equal and people have exit options and everyone is financially taken care of in individual ways, the family relation, the friend relation, the relations with your kids, your adult kids, your college students is built on mutual love and support.
You know, it's a beautiful way of thinking, and I'm persuaded of it personally. But I think... I think that, you know, a more, you know, a conservative, so I'm thinking about like Brad Wilcox, maybe,
mm-hmm.
like one of the conservatives who's supposed to be welfare friendly insofar as it's helpful to families,
mm-hmm.
would on some level harbor the dark belief that it actually is good if you're forced into these things.
Mm. Like, let him express it.
I feel like...
Express it then, brother.
I feel like there's a lot of flowery language you could put around it, like, you know... fate and destiny.
Put it on the flow then.
And like the fact that even in hardship or pain, these relationships bring a lot of meaning that's hard to measure. But I mean, yeah, I think fundamentally on the right wing side, there is that underlying belief that it's better if these things are forced to some degree.
Put it on the flow then. I want the abused wife to stay because she has no other financial options. I want that to occur.
Yes. I mean,
that's, say it then.
There's a reason that every time people want to debate a leftist, they get in touch with me and not you. Is because I'm not confrontational enough to demand something like that.
Look, but abuse is bad. Don't get me wrong. But maybe someone is too quick to exit if they are financially comfortable. And if there is financial coercion involved, they might stick it through. And then the abuse might, kind of go down. And it'll be better. And they'll be happier that they stayed.
Right. There you go.
Let's make the arg then. And who are you to decide in any given case whether that's true? Why can't that individual also say, yes, I'm not financially required to stay. I have outside options, the welfare state, employment, potentially. I've got outside options. So it's not a financial thing, but I will endure hard times because I would like to, you know, that's part of this thing. You know, I have no financial tie to my parents, for an example, and I'm going to Texas in a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't say it's the most enjoyable week of the year.
Better than hell, too.
But I do it because, you know, I'm promoting the family tie. I'm, fulfilling family obligations. I don't need to be financially coerced to do that.
Right.
Even when it's not, like, ideal.
Yeah, you've just got that inbuilt filial piety.
And that's all we're saying. We're saying, look, these things exist. There's other mechanisms to bond people.
Yeah.
Whether it is that they like each other and love each other and support each other, or even if they don't necessarily get along that well, they understand the importance of family and supporting people and all that kind of stuff, even when it's tough. They don't need to have essentially a financial gun to their head to make them do it. And if that's the only thing, if that's the thing that stands between them doing it and not, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not where we want to be. We don't want that to be the thing that's forcing them.
Yeah.
Is essentially, a death sentence or destitution or whatever, yeah. You know.
And I like you mentioned this briefly, but I also like the idea that even if you believe in certain forms of coercion, poverty shouldn't be used to coerce. That's not the right tool. If you want to say, like, the church can hold forth and be like, you should get married, and stay married, that's, I guess, a form of coercion.
Sure, look.
In the sense that they exert power over people, but poverty doesn't seem like the right tool.
Look, there's so much that goes into all of these things, right? It could be how it might affect the relationships you do like.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay, I like some of my family, others I maybe don't like, and maybe I'm in a situation where I really don't like this person, and they're really kind of mean to me. But you know what? Because I want to interact with the rest of my family and go to family gatherings and whatever, I'll tolerate that, you know? And so there's a kind of coercive, if you will, element there, which is that it's kind of like all or nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And so to be no contact and whatever the fuck with that person means that there's going to be four or five other people who you're not, or you're going to have to miss out on a lot of fun things that they happen to be at. And so whatever. But it shouldn't be, I'm not going to be able to eat food.
Right.
If I don't. And if that's the thing, like I said, if that's the deciding line, that's not a good relationship.
No.
And I don't know why the state has any interest in perpetuating it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the, you know, and of course, you know, present this person, I'm like, so what's the counter? She's like, I don't really have, it's not like we have a counter.
Yeah.
I'm like, sounds like a good argument then, doesn't it?
Yeah. We definitely had a conversation at one point where I said something like, well, I can't come up with a counter. And you were like, then we found the truth.
That's the truth. That's how we know the truth is on my side.
It's this very violent way to to interact with someone who you're having a discussion with. But it's true.
Anyways, how did we get here?
Sydney Sweeney, Trump did a tweet talking about her ad saying, Sydney Sweeney, a registered Republican. And yeah, we did find out that she's a registered Republican.
He just learned of this person.
Yeah, absolutely. Her name is spelled wrong every time.
It's a tough name. You don't know too many E's.
Yeah. He's missing the first Y, which, okay.
Yeah, and the Y could be an I.
Yeah. Sydney Sweeney, a registered Republican, has the hottest ad out there. It's for American Eagle. And the jeans are flying off the shelves. That's in quotes for some reason. Go get them, Sydney. On the other side of the ledger, Jaguar did a stupid and seriously woke advertisement. That is a disaster. The CEO just resigned. The company is in turmoil. Shouldn't they have learned a lesson from Bud Light, which went woke and essentially destroyed in a short but very woke campaign the company? The market cap destruction has been unprecedented. Billions of dollars lost.
Really?
Or just look at woke singer Taylor Swift. Ever since I alerted the world as to what she was by saying on Truth that I can't stand her. There you go.
Okay. I mean, Taylor Swift is doing very well.
Yeah.
That's much better than Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
What did Jaguar do? Do I need to watch this?
I didn't even look into what Jaguar did. Something woke, I suppose.
Okay. You know, look, I think we've made this point before. I think it's a little bit odd to pursue elections from the perspective of what content you want to see more of.
Yeah.
Maybe from the person themselves, if you like these true social tweets or whatever.
Yeah.
But if your thing is like, man, I can't stand the way movies are these days.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, so I'm going to vote for one president or whichever.
Yeah.
If from there you're like, therefore I'm going to vote, I'd be like, you're kind of missing the boat here. That's not really, that's not the function of that part of the thing.
Yeah.
But I'll be damned if it's not essentially what we're doing now.
Hey, people care about the culture.
And it's kind of sort of works, I guess. I mean, I don't know entirely. It would be interesting to know, to be able to see the alternative. Like if Harris wins, are there different ads and TV shows? Do they have different leanings or whatever? I don't know, but like, certainly everyone is convinced that that's how it goes. And on some level, I guess if you're kind of otherwise comfortable or don't care that much about, you know, the stuff I care about, which is kind of niche, I guess, maybe it makes sense to just be like, all right, do I like, is the entertainment too lib or too conservative at the moment? Which one? And then just kind of vote like that.
Yeah.
On the assumption that entertainers just kind of, in some real informal way, it gets transmitted to them to change their what they're producing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a funny way to try to command the culture, you know, using the democratic process. But funny, I love that for people. They're just voting on what's important to them, and what's important to them is truly stupid shit.
It's the thing that is not even to me that you would vote on it. What makes me pause is that doesn't seem like the mechanism. There's no like bill that you pass, or order. You know, it's hard to see the transmission mechanism.
Yeah.
But I guess if it kind of plays out that way, then it's somewhat rational. And if that's your thing, I mean, that's your thing. Who am I? It's a fucking democracy. That's the deal. And if, you know, 30% of the population, their main thing is like whether the entertainment is, you know, lining up with the kind of stuff they want to see, then.
Oh, these people aren't really citizens. They're customers. And the way that they relate to politics, it seems, is by you know, looking at it from the perspective of consumer. I'm getting advertising that I don't like. I want that to change. It made me mad when Bud Light had the trans person on the can.
Or the not hot spokespeople.
Yeah. I hate the not hot spokespeople.
There is something a little bit even worse about if your thing is ads.
Yeah, well, that's real dick shit.
Real, if you're like, look, I want cooler movies or I want like sports, like the shit you seek out as entertainment, ads. What are we doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Bud Light thing was about an ad, which wasn't. I don't even know if it was an ad. It was like one of those things where, you know, like a TikTok girlie is like, "Oh, I got a Temu haul or whatever the fuck."
Oh my god!
And they go through like some shit, and they leave the impression that somehow the brand gave it to them or whatever. And it's unclear whether that's always true.
Yeah,
some people fake that too. But like whatever, it was one of those, mm-hmm. and they just like gave this person a can.
Yeah,
and put like their face on it, which they probably did to like 100 influencers. Yes. And they're just like, if we give this person who has 1 million followers a can with their face on it, they're so fucking stupid that they're just going to do a video of it. Maybe they paid them some, I don't know. But like, that was the whole thing.
Yeah, that was it.
And it's like, okay, you didn't like the ad.
People got real emotional about it.
I try not to see ads.
Yeah,
same. I spend significant amount of money to not absorb any ads.
Yeah, I don't want that in my life.
I skip through ads on every podcast. I get the extra tier of Hulu where I get as much of those ads out as I can.
Yep.
If you're forced to watch them in live sports, that's why live sports is like the only thing that's not going to die off TV or whatever.
Suck.
Yeah, I'm not looking to look at any ads. So who can I vote for that? Like, just get rid of ads.
Sell me medication for psoriasis. I'm like, stop. Fuck.
We have to watch. You know, there are countries that ban ads for medicine.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see what it gets replaced with. But the other thing, it's you watch a sports thing and it's gambling, alcohol, and medicine for chronic illness.
Yeah.
That's, and then fucking, you know, 10 minutes of gameplay.
God, that's dark.
That's what it is, though.
The Sydney Sweeney thing, I think, and the fact that Trump was really quick to get on board, it's like, this is part of the overall, like, pornification of the right. Like, they're not even fucking playing around with that family value shit anymore. That's over.
That's true.
It is dead and buried. So, like, all of these Republicans who before yesterday were big family values people, I guess including J.D. Vance, it's now
Is he tweeting about Sydney Sweeney?
No, but, I mean, he's part of this administration. Trump just called her hot right in the damn tweet in all caps. It's like there's no more pretense that there's anything like socially conservative going on.
No, he's got it. He's doing it here.
Oh, wow.
On the Ruthless podcast. See what he's got to say. I wonder what his wife thinks about it.
Take your business calls to the next level with informed branded calling.
Well, let's see if this ad is woke.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a black lady on a phone.
She's having a good time.
Fucking furious.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
I've turned the sound off, but it's something called Shopto. It seems fake.
Yeah, it's probably not a good thing to put your credit card information.
Form branded calling.
That sounds awful.
It's like a business to business.
I want to start with probably the most important discussion happening in our country today, which is Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
So the Democrats have essentially been like,
this fucking
Sydney
nerd
Sweeney represents like a Nazi white supremacy issue. Do you think it's that deep? And do you think attacking Sydney Sweeney is how they can win back young men?
Is that a good move?
Yeah, my political advice to the Democrats is continue to tell everybody who thinks Sydney Sweeney is attractive is a Nazi. that appears to be their actual strategy. I mean, it actually reveals something pretty interesting about the Dems, though, mm-hmm. which is that you have like a normal all-American beautiful girl doing like a normal jeans ad.
Right. Right.
They're trying to sell jeans to kids in America, and they have managed to so unhinge themselves over this thing. And it's like, you guys, did you learn nothing from the November 2024 election? Like, I actually thought that one of the lessons they might take is we're going to be less crazy.
Yeah.
The lesson they have apparently taken is we're going to attack people as Nazis for thinking Sidney Sweeney is beautiful. Great strategy, guys. That's how you're going to win the midterms, especially young American men.
Their course correction lasted about 30 seconds.
That's right. Lasted 30 seconds. Somehow has gotten even crazier. But again, it's just so much of the Democrats is oriented around hostility to basic American life.
Yep.
So you have a pretty girl doing a jeans ad and they can't help but freak out. It reveals a lot more about them than it does us.
Hey, JD, go ask your priest what he thought of the ad. They're like in the 90s, Republicans would have thrown a fucking fit about this.
Yeah, no, yeah, because it would it's be like, provocative and
now you're
porny.
Just like,
and
you're leaning into the proletarian lust.
It's playboyish. Like,
it's great, actually. Americans are horny as fuck, and that's great. It's beautiful, and I lean into it. It's like Josh Marshall when he tweeted his porn and then was like, actually, I like porn, and I'm not sorry. I love porn. Porn is great.
Did you watch the video he posted?
No. I did. There's watching. It was not required, dude.
You didn't want to see what he was up to.
No, no.
It was like it was a lesbian scene. It was very sweet, actually.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, wasn't one of the people named Strawberry?
Yeah, yeah.
Strawberry and this was. Were they both food themed?
Maybe. I think maybe it was Strawberry because it was like a redhead. But remember Felix review of it was like. this is the porn of a 6-year-old.
Okay. Yeah, somebody much less developed in his addiction. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, he says he loves it, so I'm sure he's much further along now.
He's gone full.
Can scarcely even imagine. It's like fully into hentai and whatever.
What is the extreme? We need an escalation graphic and then what is the final boss? I mean, well, I guess I guess we know what it is probably, but.
I mean, what is the final boss? Is it like a snuff film? Like, what are we talking? Increasingly extreme and taboo shit.
It's got to be the Epstein level, right?
Oh, the kids.
Yeah, the Jared from Subway level.
Yeah. I mean, there are gradations of iniquity even within the category of underage minors. And so I submit to you that we have not yet seen the bottom, but definitely the bottom tier is once you get involved with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just before that, let's say of legal, of in the legal realm.
Legal sexual pathology.
What's the most extreme version of it?
Is it like...
sound off in the comments.
Yeah, I can scarcely even begin to imagine. Is it like physically violent shit that's the worst? Or is it like... Is it just like sort of psychologically demented or niche? Or?
That's a great distinction, right? Is the perversion mental or physical?
Yeah. I almost think mental perversions are worse and more fucked up. Like if you just like getting slapped in the face, that's weird, but okay. It's like liking food that is bitter or whatever. That's just you. You're just made that way. But it is a whole other thing when there's like an intense and weird pathology around it. In the Brian Koberger case, that guy who stabbed to death those four kids in Moscow, Idaho,
mm-hmm.
a few years back, they're just dumping all the details from that investigation now because he got LWAP. And he, of course, he had fucking weird, creepy porn that he was into.
Really? Well, I haven't seen this.
He was into like passed out girls, unconscious girls, girls who were being gagged. And like, yeah, he attacked sleeping college girls.
Okay. So it is sleeping, passed out fetish of sorts.
Yeah, defenseless.
Did he do
stuff?
Sexual crimes?
That hasn't been explicitly confirmed.
Wouldn't they put that in there? Or
they probably would have, but he definitely like mauled one of the girls' faces and stabbed the others in normal locations.
Okay.
So there was something going on there with that specific girl.
Oh, that's not good.
I think one of his problems was he probably expected that girl to be asleep in her bed alone, but actually her best friend was sleeping in bed with her. So if he had planned to do things, this probably threw a wrench into that, right? Now instead
of
one
person.
Shit,
I gotta kill four people now.
It actually looks like it kind of cascaded that way, that he killed those people. And then as he was coming downstairs after that struggle, he saw another person who heard the struggle and he killed her. And then her boyfriend showed up and he killed him. So it's like, brother, you just got into a situation. I don't think you
planned
for.
That's a strange plan B. I think my plan B might have been just like, what if I just run out of the house real quick? And like, worst case scenario, I get some kind of like breaking and entering thing. And
yeah.
But probably just leave it be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Quadruple homicide. And the prosecutors took death off the table in exchange for a plea. Because I think the majority of the victims' families didn't want death. They didn't want to go through it.
Mm.
They just wanted it to be over
mm-hmm.
and not deal with the appeals and shit. And I get that. That makes sense to me. Anyway, you know, there's a lot of weird sexual pathology out there that gets expressed in, I think, highly niche porn that I'm very suspicious of.
The thing with Vance's thing, though, it's a little frustrating because it's, you know, the reaction to the ad is not just, oh, she's pretty and we don't like that. The reaction that exists that he's talking about, which again, I think is nutpick. Like he keeps saying the Democrats. What
right.
Has there been a single elected
Chuck Schumer,
any prominent Democrat anywhere?
Yeah.
But putting that aside, it's like, specific to the content of the ad, the whole thing about the offspring and genes and
yeah.
and some people trying to say, well, it's like a racial gene
thing.
And like that, I think that's probably overreading it. I don't think American Eagle probably is like trafficking in that in general, but you know, like you at least got to acknowledge, I mean, you know, a politician doesn't because they're fucking snakes and all that, but
yeah,
like, you know, if you really want to make the move, you got to acknowledge that that's the point.
Yeah,
it's not just like, why isn't it a trans woman? That's
yeah,
what
right,
we
right.
demand.
It's not like we want an uglier woman.
Like if it had just been Sydney Sweeney and then without those specific words, nothing would have come of it
right.
at all. So
yeah, she was just like, I love jeans, and we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Even
the images and all that.
Yeah.
Or even that first ad probably would have been fine.
It would have been fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, another funny thing that's happened, putting Sydney Sweeney aside, is everyone collectively decided if we all flip our opinions on Israel at once, no one can get mad at us.
Yeah, we're in that stage two Iraq war phase.
Yeah, where everybody's like, no, this, look, it's got to stop. I've been against it the whole time, really. Or the situation has changed.
No, it's the situation has changed because that's what you need to do argumentatively.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the question is, when did it change?
Yeah.
And why, you know, and I think obviously there was just, man, I kind of can't believe it unfolded like this. As a pure watcher in this world, I'm not really a take man.
Your transparent eyeball. Yeah.
In the Israel game. Because what's it got to do with the welfare state? Keep your eye on the ball. Always keep your eye on the ball. You know, there was the October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And very shortly after that, you get protests from pro-Palestine types.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're protesting Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, really upsets media people who have this huge reaction against it.
Mm-hmm.
And not just media people, you know, I don't know, just broadly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was this sense that was like, this is really excessive, or if you're protesting in this way, you must have some kind of latent anti-Semitic bias. You know, like they just got attacked and you're mad at them. Like, what's going on? You're fucking crazy. Like, look at this massacre that just occurred and whatever, right? And, you know, so there just was a lot of position taking there up
yeah.
front, including position taking that was specifically anti-left.
Yeah.
Not just I'm pro-Israel or I think it's okay for them to respond and all that. It was anger at the college students, anger at the protesters, blah, blah, blah. The usual thing where just like with this, you go nutpick a handful of people who maybe said something anti-Semitic and then you're oh, that's the whole left and blah, blah, blah. It's ridiculous, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was kind of an interesting thing. Like if Israel had kind of just responded in, I guess what you would think of as like kind of a normal way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, did some strikes, kind of hunted out some Hamas leaders, killed, what was his name? Sinwar.
Yeah.
Knocked him out, like, done all that, and then kind of, like, chilled out. Then you would have, that would have been neat for, you know, I guess you'd kind of say the mainstream response.
Yeah.
It turned out they didn't, and they just kept going, and now, and seemed to have been intentionally now trying to starve the population.
Yes.
And get them to relocate. You know, it's cleansing of one sort
definitely
or another.
Cleansing, yeah.
Yeah, like the goal is to get Gazans, Arabs, out of the area through one way or another. Destroy all the homes so that they can't, just literally can't live there. Starve them out. Try to get them to leave. Get Egypt to take them. Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And now we're in this phase where it's like, oh, well, you know, the lefty protesting world kind of stuck their neck out and, you know, really took a big bet that Israel was going to do some wild shit. And then they did.
Yeah.
And now we're in a situation where I think it take because people position took against that.
Yeah.
It did. They kind of. Wrote it out for months and months and months, well past the time it would have been normal for them to do that, because they're like, oh shit, I'm gonna look like a fucking fool, an idiot.
Can't be that the left was right.
The left happens to be right, and then they took a big leap and all of them decided at once, and you know, the moves to be like, it's because they, in the last week, things got real different.
You see, I saw a picture that the New York Times ran that had a starving child in it, and I could no longer maintain my former position. It's like, all right, well, great. I'm glad that happened, I suppose. Journalism affecting things.
Yeah, we had this exchange from Weissman and Iglesias, which I thought was telling. Big fan of Jordan Weissman. What's he up to these days?
I don't know. You should, you know, reach out.
I think he lives in New York City.
Bet he'd like to hang out with you.
Maybe. Don't have a lot of time these days. Maybe he'll come. Yeah. If you're listening, you could come to the, well, I don't know, I think it's booked out, the Scandinavia House tomorrow at 7 p.m. in New York City, where Nordic Socialism will be presented, the book Nordic Socialism, which I did not write, but I did write the introduction to. So I'm in the book in that sense. I will not be presenting. I will just be in the audience because there was a mix-up. I was meant to, they scheduled me to do the DC event on the theory that I lived in DC, but I do not live in DC. No. And then it was like, well, we're doing a New York event, but we've already got that booked out. And, you know, what are we going to do? Tell people to, you know, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's fair enough. And you know, they got Bhaskar as well. So, you know, how am I can't compete with Bhaskar. He's a bigger star than me. You know, he's going to bring out more people than me. I wonder if I'll be able to, I might like end up weaseling my way into it somehow. Anyways, sorry. I've been trying to find his tweet. Okay, here we go. As Dems converge on agreement that Israel has been committing an atrocity, I do think there needs to be some reckoning among mods that while lots of ugly anti-Semitism bursts from the left after October 7th, okay. The leftists were fundamentally more right about what this war would become. So, respect.
Respecto.
Got to put respecto there.
Yeah. What did Iggy have to say?
He said, basically, he was like, I don't want to give them any credit because what they did made it harder for us, blah, blah, blah.
He's so negatively polarized.
He's
extremely, like, dude, you're not being rational anymore.
It's unfortunate. You can't let people run you like that.
Yeah, you can't let people turn you all around like that, man.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, obviously there was a lot of reaction to the first part where he's like, well, because I think it's right, like, retroactively, I think it does exonerate the left.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Because the argument, some of it was they would find little nutpicks and whatever, right? But the bulk of the argument was actually something like that kind of reaction to go out and protest Israel in that circumstance is completely unexplainable.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
Like, they just got hit by this attack that killed 1,200 people and, you know, music festival and all this. And then for you to go up, that's so unexplainable.
Yeah.
That it can only really, we have to impute anti-Semitism, right? Like, yeah. At some point, if you're out protesting something so crazy like that, what do we, how can we make sense of it?
Yeah.
Except to say that you just must hate those people.
Yeah.
And, you know, retroactively, I think that argument is bunk.
Yeah.
Because you go, well, no, they were saying Israel is going to engage in this kind of behavior and we're protesting them and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
So it goes. He goes, here was Matt Iglesias. I'm just deeply reluctant to credit the critics with being right about this. They at every turn took concrete political actions that made worst case outcomes more rather than less likely.
Like what?
He doesn't elaborate, but I'm sure it's stuff like protesting Kamala Harris and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. She would have been much better. Yeah, for sure, bro.
No,
for
I mean, sure. That's a, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Well, we now know Biden wasn't even trying to secure a peace deal, and she said she would just be a continuation of the Biden administration. So what makes us think she was going to be super eager to get involved and shut things down?
Weissman says, I think you're blurring issues. I agree their protest tactics were often counterproductive, and they were wrong about the stakes in 2024, the election. But I also think that in the first months of the war, the left had a better read on what was to come from Israel.
So, yeah.
You know, he's not fully on board, if you will. But you know, he's at least the only one I saw being like, well, gotta hand it to the left on this one.
Yeah, that's the best you can do at this stage in the discourse is to be quick to say the left was right. The people who hang on, like Matt Iglesias, are going to look increasingly.
Well, and what's weird is that Iglesias is not a big Israel guy to begin with. Like, if you've read his stuff on it, you know, I would say he's kind of got more of like a futility lens to it, which I think is kind of intriguing, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, okay, you basically have a land dispute,
yeah.
And like, the fuck do you do about that?
Yeah.
Like, two people, I guess you know, with buildings, you could stack people on the same piece of land. Like in Manhattan, a lot of people live on the same piece of land in these very tall buildings. But, you know, more realistically, if that's your thing,
yeah,
is like, this land is mine. And the people like, this land is mine. It's like, how do we resolve this?
Yeah.
Especially if no one is willing to, like, cut deals,
yeah.
You know, like if you're pretty much like, nope, all of it's mine. And I'm not going to compromise at all. I'm not going to give, you know. But he just hates the left.
Yeah, know? He does.
He's so polarized by the left.
That's his governing commitment right now, which is unfortunate.
He just gets so triggered by them.
Because he's not stupid.
No, he's not. Like I said, I don't think he was I think he was less pro-Israel than the mainstream.
Yeah.
Coming out of the gate. But he also really can't stand the left, and you know, I just got this whole thing is worked up in his mind that like the left is what's destroying the Democratic Party and blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And you know, the Harris thing was kind of, I think, a frustrating experience for him because it really was the case that Harris was trying to run as a moderate.
Yeah.
And she was doing like they were not she didn't have any of the left wing stuff on her platform and you know.
Yeah.
And she lost. And then it's like, that's really frustrating because now the left gets to be like, ha ha.
Yeah.
You ran one of your people saying your things, your tested messages, all the things you wanted to do, moderating on immigration, moderating on. She went out and said that she has a gun, like doing all your crazy zany shit. And you lost. Ha ha. But he strongly believes that. Despite her doing all that, she codes as left wing and she coded as left wing and that's why she lost.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's just like a real front. Just imagine that's your position.
Yeah.
You have to go out every day and be like, yeah, I know on paper everything she did was what I said, but voters still thought she was far left. So it still is the far left's fault.
Yes.
Like, it's a viable argument. It's viable. It's tough, though.
It's tough.
It's a rough one.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the odds?
Anyways.
Yeah. You hate to see it.
Many... Everyone's flipped on Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess better late than never.
You got Hoteps here?
Yeah, I was going to say, I want the number one perspective I want to know more about with respect to Israel and Palestine is the Hoteps. Where the Hoteps. Are they on this?
Specifically the what are they?
I don't know if I just want the Black Hebrew Israelites.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I do want their perspective.
Oh, of course, all of it. Oh, I want, I would listen to a Hotep podcast for sure.
Just in the perspective, like on the news. Of the Hoteps. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's got to be one.
There must be. Yeah, maybe not by that name, but there must be ideologically Hotep podcasts.
That ADOS guy, the African Descendants of Slavery guy,
yeah,
he has like a YouTube, and I watch his stuff. I actually wrote something with him at People's Policy Project once. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, yeah. Antonio Moore.
Mm.
He invented the phrase ADOS.
Mm-hmm.
So he does a lot of content that's basically about how recent immigrants from Africa, we shouldn't really count them as being the same as descendants of slavery.
Okay.
And, you know, for all sorts of reasons, that's real important for him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, without the family car, black wealth barely exists. So he was a very enterprising guy. He was like, emailed me. He's like, I know you know how to use this survey data. Like, can we do this and this and this? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I could do that. And then I did it. And he was like, yeah, that's right. So let's write this up. And I was like, fuck it. Let's go. Let's go. I'm for it.
Yeah.
So anyways,
well,
I guess we're running out of time here.
Yeah, we are.
We still got more, but we can do the rest of stuff later.
Yeah, we can.
Did you want to do LinkedIn? That's probably...
Oh, yeah.
Do that one shortly.
I just say that what I meant when I put that in the doc is that I just fully don't understand how LinkedIn is supposed to work. I just don't get it. Like,
I had an account once because I was, when I was doing the reporting, I was under the assumption that like this would be good because then I could like find people who worked at a company I was covering and like DM them. It never really played out. And then it's always been like, I have to give you money. I don't really know. I was like, shit's kind of weirdly paywalled in ways that don't make sense to me. Like, there's another social media that works like that. But they seem to like, I need to buy extra money to send DMs that people can see or...
Yeah.
It's wild. But it's like, it's a very profitable social media enterprise.
It's like I'm on there so that when people Google me, they can see that I work where I say I work and also that I have worked where I say I have worked, is supposing we meet in person. And people make these connection requests and I'm like, who the fuck are you? What is signified by me accepting this?
I don't know, right?
What is the purpose of me accepting this? What do you think is going to happen?
And then, yeah, and then people on there. It is kind of a flex that I don't have one.
It is a
deleted
flex.
Mine.
I'm
like, I don't need that shit. But yeah, am I meant to be maximizing my connections
and
on LinkedIn?
Like, what do they mean? Like, what does it mean to be connected?
It's like a friend. It's like a friend
but, like,
request.
Obviously, but like on Twitter, following someone means you see their posts.
Yeah, I think you'll see posts. Now, if you're LinkedIn posting, Jesus Christ.
That's what I was thinking. So people post on there, but
people
I'm like, what kind of psycho goes on LinkedIn to be like, this was me kayaking this weekend? What the fuck?
Oh, I assume they post like corporate related stuff.
I've seen people post all kinds of shit on there. And then people respond to other people's posts.
It's like social media, but with
your colleagues.
Your business face.
Yeah.
Right? If you think about people as having different face, like Instagram's where you're going to post your pics from your bachelorette party in Nashville where you're peddling the beer bus or whatever. And then LinkedIn, you're going to post some comments, you know, maybe something that's more kind of family friendly. If it's casual, you know, and it'll kind of link in, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's the idea. It's like, it's the kind of stuff, I guess, you would talk to, the way you would present yourself to colleagues in at the water cooler or something? Is that the idea? And so that you're cultivating that persona?
Yeah. I mean, here's something that someone, I just went to mine and
okay, well, that's defeated my theory, which was not based on much. If the USA was a car, it's so long, this meme.
It's so long. This is not appropriately. It's a boomer meme, for sure.
The boomers don't understand the brevity, the importance of brevity in memeing.
The thing with the meme is you can look right at it and get it in an instant.
Yeah, that's what makes it so memeable.
People, you know, here's someone pissed off about Randy Fine. I mean, it's like God, Twitter.
Randy Fine is a fucking lunatic, dude. Yeah. I kind of can't believe this guy exists. He is really wild. He's a representative from Florida.
Yeah.
It's like he kind of proceeds the way John Fetterman does.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have like brain problems. Like Fetterman is diagnosed, has like his brain's messed up.
Like
he's had a stroke. Like, yeah, it's kind of sad on
he's
some
got
level.
Neurological problems.
He legit has legit medical problems that make, and there, you know, there's been reporting on it. His staff has come out and told reporters that, like, yeah, his brain doesn't work. Randy Fine is just his brain does work. He's just he loves Israel, and he's like real big on everything Israel does. Like he's happy about like starving people and stuff. Like he'll post, you know, kind of trollishly about how he get to the starving, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he said starve away. Okay, genius. That and means the hostages too.
It's not great that he's like 300 pounds while saying
I was
that.
Gonna,
like,
I was not
really...
going to go there. But
People have. I wouldn't
It did
go
occur
there.
To me that I would not be bringing up starvation if I was in his position.
It had opened him up to some really fatphobic stuff that I'm not supportive
that we
of.
We don't endorse. We actually don't endorse. But
no, I don't.
But it has been said.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. If that's your,
he set himself up for it. Unfortunately,
he did. Yeah, he did. He really. And at some point, you know, there is a tit for tat element to if you break decorum, others will break decorum.
Yeah,
And I am a slight believer in that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go on there seeking to blow people up anymore.
Yeah.
And most of the time when people are trying to blow me up on there, I just let it go.
Yeah.
But occasionally, I might be like, all right, time to go back to the old me. And I'll hit them with some wild shit. And I'll just be like, look, they were fucking scrapping. They came at me. So
they pulled up. You know, run up, get done up, as Cardi used to say.
I was thinking of one, but I probably shouldn't brag about it.
Okay.
Anything else on LinkedIn? Let's look at this. Explore top LinkedIn content. So I'm just on the homepage, like if you've never had an account, which I don't have now. Mm-hmm. The most unappealing thing ever.
Yeah, no.
You would never click this and be like, damn, I need to make an account.
No.
Explore top LinkedIn content, and they just have like a series of tags.
Yeah.
The first one is business strategy, and then career, communication, finance, leadership, productivity, recruitment in HR, sales, technology. Technology could be interesting. And then when I click business strategy, what are we doing? Just narrating this. The first thing that pops up is a post from Mario Hernandez, and he has like some kind of subheading that says turning LinkedIn into a fundraising engine for nonprofits.
Oh, God.
Keynote speaker, and then it says Inve, and then ... So I assume it's investor or something. And then his post says, nonprofits, comma. So I assume he's addressing nonprofits. I would put a colon there.
Yeah.
But nonprofits, comma. If I had to rebuild our corporate partnership strategy based on last night's gala, here's the updated playbook. And there's a picture of him with a woman in a car.
Okay.
They're well suited, honestly. Yeah. And it's just this law. I can't even go there. Last night, I attended a gala packed with donors, executives, founders, investors, brilliant people who all had one thing in common. They're active on LinkedIn, posting, commenting, building their brand, leading conversations. Meanwhile, I spoke with 14 nonprofit leaders. Guess how many were active using LinkedIn to grow their mission? Two. That's right, two. And it showed, one, most donors aren't meeting you in the inbox. They're meeting you in their feed. The folks writing checks aren't passively waiting for a pitch deck. They're discovering missions worth funding through content that inspires, educates, on and on.
God, dude.
And on.
God, you would have to pay me to write something like that. I would not go do it of my own free will.
This is some ChatGPT shit, dude. Like, I would not. ChatGPT could not do worse.
It could not do any worse. Oh, God, that's so miserable. I find the whole enterprise very strange. I keep getting asked. People keep asking me to go to networking events. But an
explicit networking event. I cannot. I will never get my head around that.
They're like, we want you to come to a dinner with young professionals for mentorship purposes. This is...
Okay, like, I mean, mentorship's slightly different.
Is it? In this context, because I'm not really mentoring.
This is the thing, because when I was in law school, we had our career office, and I had my autism, like throwing my hands up moment when you would talk to them. Because I also talked to them when I lost my job, because mm-hmm. that's the whole thing. And it's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Yep.
But like, even before that, you go through there, and it's like, you know, they want to like, they do put a lot of effort into trying to help you get a job.
Yeah.
Because it matters to them, because the job placement statistics are reported by the ABA. Mm-hmm. And it really is hugely important to them that when the ABA puts out their report that like as many people got a job as possible.
Yeah.
And like a good job, and they have like JD preferred, like it's the whole thing. So like yeah. statistics are really kept. So they put a huge effort into it. But you talk to them. Nonetheless, and if you're not going like a more traditional route, like a big law route or something like that, where the path is straightforward, you know, because there's just like institutions in place to funnel people from top or top-ish law schools mm-hmm. into those firms, you know, they have a whole farm system set mm-hmm. up for it. There's just like, okay, so what you got to do? You got to email like some labor lawyers, some employment lawyers, and like set up a lunch
mm-hmm.
and like, go have lunch with them.
Yeah.
And then, like, talk to them.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, my God.
That's very, yeah, that's not the right advice for you.
I tried to do that.
Yeah.
A bit after I lost my job.
I remember this.
And I was just like, I don't, you know, what the fuck am I doing here? And, like, don't they know that I'm just trying to get a job? And, like, what's going on? I don't understand how this is supposed to work at all.
That's my thinking is, like, I go to a networking event for you, and there was this thing I was invited to that was like women only dinner.
It's not really fair
for young professional women, and it's explicitly networking, and I'm like, I don't know what you think I can do, but I can't get you hired anywhere. I cannot help you. Like, I, you know, all of PBS just lost their jobs. Washington Post is getting stripped for parts. If you're thinking of getting into journalism right now, I would just say, like, don't. I can't help you, and no one can help you.
It's funny when I think about the people who I've helped, because I have helped. Now, I haven't hired anyone, and I'm not in an institution where I could tell someone to hire someone.
Yeah.
But people are free to email me at PPP, and they do. Mm-hmm. And occasionally people will email me, and they'll be like, hey, I want to write this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read it, and I'll be like, that's really good. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I'll pay you this and this. We'll put it on the site and whatever. And that's it. I don't know these people. I've never been on the phone with these people. I've never met these people. And like 4 or 5 people have come through PPP. They pitched me. They started writing stuff. I just kept letting them write stuff because it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then off they go. One's at Policy Engine, like 2's at Niskanen. It's like they just go and get hired. And then one started his own think tank, and But, like, what's the advice there? It was like, I don't know. These people had good content.
Yeah, exactly.
They came to me. I didn't know them, but I would read the emails. And I was like, fuck yeah, this is good shit. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then because it was good, not because I posted it on the site.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other key here. There's, like, this sort of forcing of, like, well, if we can force the right connections, somehow I can make it go.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it's, like, foot in the door. I don't know. But, like, it wasn't me posting their shit on the website that got them the stuff. A lot of people pay attention to it, but it's because the shit was good.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, who's this guy? Oh, he's not even, he's just like a freelancer for PPP. Bring him on. We'll hire him on staff.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, like four or five people I'm thinking of right now in my head who have gone on to get jobs like that.
You're a talent scout.
Yeah, but I've got no ability to retain them because yeah. I've got no money. You know, it's a small thing, but, you know.
We're just a nursery for baby writers like the New Republic.
Yeah, but yeah, look, if you, it's, and I'll be honest, it's a certain kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to be.
All right, but you're a safe space.
I know.
For the world's autists.
Exactly. I had a... someone that used to post at my site was trying to get a job in the Oregon state government,
mm-hmm.
and in their like healthcare department, because he was like a healthcare poster. His healthcare shit was kind of wacky, but it was really interesting.
Yeah,
and I was like, let's put that shit in there.
Yeah,
like and they were like they called me like for reference, and I was like, look. This is how I gave him a reference. He got the job, so it worked. I was like, let me tell you what I do at PPP. Okay. So I write a lot of my own stuff. Okay. And then I take people who, for social maladjustment reasons, are unable to get work in other places.
Mm-hmm.
But they're good, but they're socially maladjusted.
They're underpriced.
And I can work with them for some reason. It works okay. I don't know if it's like meets like kind of thing, or if it's just I don't care that they're socially maladjusted because I'm just looking at the content. And so the fact that their engagement is weird, I don't really care. I'm just like, this is really good. But that's what I do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this guy, to his credit, the least socially maladjusted.
Oh.
Of all the people who have ever come here. He was solid. And I could just say from the way I work with people, was not like the normal person that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was my pitch to them. And they did hire him, so.
Very good. See, you're doing good in the world.
But I did not meet this person at networking event. I've never talked to this person. I've only sent emails and posts back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, he's never been on the phone, ever. I don't know what he looks like.
That's the dream in some respect. You have pure respect for his intellect.
All right. I guess we've gone an hour 18. In the quest for 52, the great quest for 52, the big battle to reach Mount 52 hours a year, the great struggle, we've moved another hour and 19 minutes up the mountains.
If I, like, while you're out of town, if I record a solo cast and then pull it off the little thingy onto my computer and send it to you, can you?
Yeah, yeah. Post it? Yeah, send it to me because I have to, you know, do the post-processing and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, maybe I should bring the portable rig.
Well, interview. I wouldn't say no.
Delasians on the street.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that.
Or at Hurricane Harbor.
Yeah.
Dude, should I put out the call for people who want to go to Hurricane Harbor on Sunday?
Absolutely. 100%.
Shit, I probably should, actually. I don't have a time set up, but I'm very strongly thinking about going to Hurricane Harbor, which is weird because in my mind, I'm like, that'll be like a nostalgia play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, isn't it cool? I'm taking my kids to Hurricane Harbor, which is this big water park in DFW. And my dad lives like right over there.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, I think I only went one time because we were too poor.
Oh, no.
I don't really remember too much about it, except that I thought it was massive.
Yeah.
And then when I was rethinking about it, the kids love water parks. I was like, I remember that place was fucking huge. And then I was like, oh, but I was like probably like 8. Like, maybe it's really not that big. But then I went and read, and I was like, no, it is huge.
Yeah.
Massive. It's like the parks we go to is probably like 4 or 5 times the size.
Yeah.
You know, because Texas.
Yeah.
So I am strongly thinking about going to Hurricane Harbor on Sunday with the kids. Now, of course, it might be hot as shit. I don't know.
It will be.
But there's water, right? You cool off in the water. Isn't that how it works?
Keep reapplying sunscreen, especially to Claire.
Hey, I haven't burned them yet.
Her face was a little red.
Yeah, well, they were just exhausted now. All right. We got to go.
All right.
Adios.
Bye-bye.